This is the leader's guide for the second half of Hebrews lesson. Oh, what lesson was this? Number 10. And I'm in the middle of page 55. And we have just been looking at the italicized paragraph at the top of the page. My understanding of apostasy is that a person who thinks that he or she is a Christian and then rejects the truth of the Christian faith was never truly a Christian. And I defined apostasy as falling away from the concepts that sounded good to them at one point in time. So to understand apostasy and whether someone can lose their salvation, you've really got to, you truly have to understand salvation. And that is the biggest message that I have through the whole book of Hebrews. I think that is what the book, the message of Hebrews is telling us about. Who Jesus is and what that means he did for us, what that means we get, and the impact of our salvation. And if that's the impact of our salvation, then you don't want to miss the good stuff. So in the middle of page 55, what is a real Christian? What has happened to them according to Titus 3:3-7, past, present, and future? So when you're reading this question, say, ladies, what was the past of a Christian? And they were foolish, disobedient, and deceived are the three words that I have. There may be a little bit more comment about it, however they stated it or summarized it. And what is the present? And this is kind of merging between past and present. Because with the kindness and love of God our Savior, He gave His Son, and He saved us through mercy. So, for a Christian, that would also be a part of their past, what God did. And He saved them through His grace and mercy, not their own works of righteousness. And then this is important. Please, you may need to bring this up. God saved through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So we're saying regeneration, that's life. Renewing of the Holy Spirit, getting the Holy Spirit, getting Him that someone doesn't have before. There also is a phrase in these verses, justified through grace. And I've just got that noted out to the side. And then what's the future? We are heirs and we have hope of eternal life. So that's a critical verse describing what life was like for an unbeliever before Jesus. And then what God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit did for us. And then the change that makes. So that's past, present, future. We want to get that. What change does Ephesians 2:5 say happened to us? We were dead and we were made alive together with Christ. Just looking back at that Titus verse, the regeneration and renewing is looking back at we were dead and we were made alive by grace through faith. So really important to grasp going from death to life. How does the Old Testament describe this change in a person? According to Ezekiel 36:26-27, God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, taking out the heart of stone, giving a heart of flesh, and God puts His spirit in me. God causes me to walk in His ways. You can tell in the middle, I kind of changed pronouns and went from third person to first person. That's not mandatory, but please summarize the result of believing in Christ as your Savior from sin. What did we just talk about in these verses? How can you say it in your own words? What are the summaries? What really happened based on these truths? And we want to hear things like we were changed. We went from death to life, from dead to alive. And we were foolish and gross sinners. And God gave His kindness and love and mercy and grace. And He washed us and He regenerated us. And He gave us life by His Holy Spirit. Make sure Holy Spirit is showing up in here. You're not a Christian if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. We have a new heart, a new spirit that is God's spirit. And as a result of being new, we do new things. We love God and we love His ways. So what you're wanting to make sure these ladies do is describe the change they've experienced, describe what they were and what they are now, describe the difference. And this is really a doctrinal description. So if they're like, you know, I'm just making this up, but I was always depressed before and now I have peace and joy. Okay, absolutely, that's true. But that's the emotional impact on you. That's a, those are blessings that you have. What, I don't even know the right word. Like, tangible is not the right word. What really changed inside of you? What, if you can use this word, composition of your being, what changed with your eternal being and your soul and what's going on in your soul and spirit? Now we have the question that probably has already been being talked about at the bottom of page 55. Based on what we've seen in the verses above, do you think a person can reject their faith and lose their salvation? And this, some are going to say, no, no, no. And some will be like, you know, I don't know, maybe. And but what we're looking at with this question are these Titus, Ephesians, Ezekiel questions. And I have been trying to explain them as I've talked through the answers in those verses of the difference. So can a person lose their salvation? Do they go from once being dead, and then they are made alive and they have the Holy Spirit, and now they're going to die again? That's not logical, but even if, now I've written this note to myself at the bottom of this page, even if someone is not comfortable settling on the position that a person cannot lose their salvation, the book of Hebrews is still written to Christians who are to hear and respond to the exhortation. So you should keep going to the next page, because that is the exhortation that is written to believers. As we've seen, this pastor calls his recipients brothers. At the top of page 56, how does the pastor encourage perseverance in our faith in Christ? According to Hebrews 3:14, he tells us to hold our original confidence in Christ firm to the end. And in the middle of that italicized paragraph, you'll see that it says, when we hold on to what we believe, it proves that we have been saved. It shows that we've been saved. It's the result. It's the impact. It's not, holding on to our salvation is not a work that we are doing to get salvation, but it is showing that we've been saved. The next italicized paragraph takes us still into the idea that the pastor is writing to believers. So you can see the pastor describes believers as partakers in Christ. That's the NAS and New King James. Other verses say we are partners or companions of Christ or sharers in Christ. Those words are referring to last line of the next italicized paragraph, the exciting blessings that we receive in Christ. So in the space in between, I've written in this. No, I've underlined like partners and companions. I've circled partakers and I have an arrow and I have a note. These words refer to, and then I've circled, the exciting blessings that we have received in Christ. What benefits are provided by Jesus to be enjoyed by those who have faith in him? So go around the table. We are still in the middle of the end of the first lesson, and we have a whole second lesson to discuss. Hebrews 2:10, we are sons brought to glory. Hebrews 2:11, we are being sanctified. We are all of one Father. We are brothers with Christ. Hebrews 3:1, partakers of the heavenly calling. There's that partakers word again. Hebrews 4:16, we can go boldly to God's throne of grace. We can and will obtain mercy and grace in time of need. Hebrews 6:4, we've been enlightened. We've tasted the heavenly gift. We are partakers of the Holy Spirit. I know we haven't gotten to that passage yet. I know that's the loaded passage that's a warning that really stirs everybody up. And these words are like, wait a minute, what do these words mean? And I'm giving them to you right here. I mean, I've studied them and I'm giving them to you here as examples of what a true Christian has received and experienced and has been enlightened by the Holy Spirit. We've tasted, experienced, we know it, the heavenly gift. We are partakers. Once again, that word, it doesn't mean we've just stuck our toe in the water. And then Hebrews 9:14 says, our consciences have been cleansed from dead works to serve the living God. So these are more phrases that reflect our great salvation and who we are in Christ, what we have. And to be a partaker of Christ is huge and wonderful and so meaningful, and it's real. And it's saying things like, God has already done immeasurably more than we can imagine, and he's going to keep doing immeasurably more. And Jesus is sharing blessings with us. So that is a very special word and place. And this lesson, number 10, ends at the bottom. All of this is ours if we heed the warnings. And I don't know how many times I've said this, but let's heed the warnings and don't miss the good stuff. We do have much to celebrate, and the celebration is going to be mentioned in the next lesson, so you could use that as a tie-in to the title of Lesson 11, which I'm going to stop this audio, and I'm going to start with Lesson 11 on a new audio. I just think that will be a cleaner way to do it. So, don't miss the good stuff. We have much to celebrate.